Thank you. Thank you, band, for leading us all the time. Know that I appreciate so much your efforts and all that you do. We're going to be in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. So if you would, take a Bible and turn there with me. Page 771, if you're using a pew Bible. Acts chapter 2, page 771. And I'm going to read verses 14 through 21 this morning. Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 21. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. Now this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I've been made aware of this. I guess it's somewhat of a natural process that happens in life as people age and grow up, that over time, the circle starts out real big and wide, and it gets smaller and smaller, and those who are on the inside, that group's not as many as those who are on the outside. And you might be saying, what are you talking about, Splon? Well, I recently, on a beautiful spring day, I was down there on the fields behind the high school, which, if you are a child and you play out there, you should just be so grateful at the beauty of what it is you get to experience. But I was walking out of those fields out there, and it was just buzzing with people. It's like ants everywhere, right? Everybody playing baseball, everybody playing softball. And the Lord, I felt like, kind of said, you know, this is how it starts out. Circle's big. Everybody gets to participate, which is why they call it a what? Participation trophy. You get to be a part of this. And as the years go on, through competition and through subjective evaluation, perhaps, or objective evaluation, the group that gets to be on those teams gets smaller and smaller, does it not? I almost wanted to pull all those parents aside that were screaming their heads off and just be like, just enjoy this. It's cute, right? There was a coach who was doing what I used to do, giving way too long of a post-game talk. The little boys who had no idea what he was saying anymore, right? I mean, it's not just sports or whatever sport you play. It also happens in academics. You kind of keep pursuing, and you study, and you take tests, and you find out, am I in the group or not? Am I a national merit semifinalist or not? Am I the valedictorian or not, right? The group gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and there's this kind of competition to see if I'm going to be in that group. Could be at your work. Could be in so many areas of your life where there's this competition that just kind of keeps narrowing the pool of who's in and who's out. And in a way, we see that happen sometimes in matters of faith. As you kind of read the storyline of the scripture in the Old Testament, you get into the New Testament, there was this idea that there were certain people who were born into this group and they're a part of what's happening, and then there are others of us who we're on the outside looking in. And it was always meant to be the purpose of God's people to show forth the light of what it looks like to live in a right relationship with God and others so that others might be drawn in. But there's this sense in which sometimes the group gets a little bit inward focused and they lose that idea that they were meant to be a light to all the nations. You see it when Jesus comes into the world in his earthly ministry when you're reading through the gospel accounts. Jesus is always bumping up against that invisible boundary line that he wasn't supposed to cross. We'll see it all throughout this Encounters with Jesus sermon series that we're doing. That Jesus would cross over and he would engage people and he would show them what it looks like for the kingdom of God to break in. And honestly, the people who thought they were on the inside weren't real excited about this. They're the ones who, more than anyone, was outraged, frustrated by Jesus' ministry, and ultimately tried to stop it. But Jesus was raised on the third day, and then he appeared to many people, and then he ascended to the right hand of the Father, like we confessed earlier in the service. And there was this season of waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. And Jesus had told them in Acts chapter 1, he says, wait, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you're going to be in my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. Right? And so that happens in Acts chapter 2. They're all gathered. They're all praying. And then the Holy Spirit comes, and there's this visible manifestation of the Spirit. And I don't know if I would want it to have been there or not. Just being honest, it would have been an overwhelming scene, I think, to experience. As the Holy Spirit came and they were empowered, as the Spirit gave them utterance, to be witnesses to Jesus Christ in this mixed multitude of all of these different regions that were represented in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, they hear them bearing witness in their own language. The best thing that I could maybe think of as an illustration of this, imagine we were all at the United Nations, and someone's giving a presentation. We've all got these earpieces in our ear, and the person's speaking, and we hear in real time in our own language what they're saying. Except in this case, there's no interpreter. They get up and they start to bear witness to God's work of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Everybody hears it, and they don't really know what's happening, and so they start figuring out what might be happening. We could tell none of these early apostles were Baptists because they think they're drunk, right? They're like, they must be drunk. And Peter uses this opportunity to stand up and explain what's happening. Stand up and explain what's happening. And he says, all right, you got it all wrong. After all, it's only 9:00 in the morning. Give them a little credit over here, okay? Give them a little bit of credit. They're not drunk. But this is the fulfillment of what we read in the book of Joel. And in the prophet Joel, he said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit. And the list of people upon whom he says he's going to pour out the spirit, it ought to make our kind of ears perk up at really the inclusive nature of who will receive the spirit. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions, old men shall see dreams, male servants, female servants. In effect, Joel is saying, everybody's going to be a part of this. And when the Holy Spirit comes, everybody, rather than the circle getting smaller, the circle is getting bigger. It's expanding. So that other people, all of us who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, male, female, Jew, Gentile, slave, free is the language that we hear. We keep moving through the New Testament. That all of us, no matter where we're from or who we are, what we have done or haven't done, what we have accomplished or not, that ultimately it's not based on our merit or our ability or our righteousness, but it's all based on what God has done for us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we can be a part of this. And as you read the book of Acts, you see this really radical idea start to take shape in real life and in real time. See, for you and me, maybe you've been around church for so long that you're like, oh yeah, of course the Gentiles are a part of God's people. But the walls were high and they were established. And even Peter, one of the first apostles, he had to have this really powerful experience to get it. You might remember this. He was in a trance of sorts and he sees this vision of a sheet with all these animals on it. And this voice says, Peter, get up and eat these animals, kill them and eat them. And what did Peter say? Nope, I'm not doing it, right? Like, there's nothing in me that's going to do that, because from a young age, I've been taught that people like me don't eat food like that, and so I'm not doing it. And he hears this voice, Peter, don't call anything unclean that I've called clean. And he gets this message to go see this guy named Cornelius, who was a Gentile. And he goes to his house, and what had to be a very awkward encounter, he kind of comes up, knocks on his house's door, and he's like, "Why am I here? You know I'm not supposed to be here. I know I'm not supposed to be here. People like me don't hang out with people like you. What's happening?" And the Lord is gracious to show him that they received the Holy Spirit. And through this process, Peter comes to see something that really blew his mind, that any paradigm that he had been shifted, that now Jews and Gentiles alike have been called to be a part of God's people through faith in Jesus Christ. And then the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul does not come off looking too good early in the book of Acts. He's there when Stephen is stoned. He's holding the coats and approving of them, but he encounters Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And Jesus says, "You're going to be my light. You're going to carry this message to the Gentiles." And Paul would live into that call upon his life, really, ultimately, at great cost to himself. But eventually, we think Paul laid down his life for this ministry to push forward and to say, no, no matter what you think or what you've heard, this salvation is not for a select few or a small group of people, but that everybody who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You and I ought to feel this incredible gratitude in our hearts. That though we were a part of the people who were far off from God, we weren't those who grew up within those covenant promises that God made in the Old Testament. God has graciously pursued us in the person of Jesus Christ. And through faith in him, you and I are members of full standing among God's people. And it happens by his mercy and his grace, irrespective of who we are or where we've been or what we've done. That this story in the book of Acts that we call this day of Pentecost is really foundational to who we are as a people. That whether you were born in South Africa or you were born in South Alabama, that your need for Jesus is the same and God's grace and his mercy moving toward you is the same. So the first thing I just want to remind you of is that the day of Pentecost is this really powerful reminder that ultimately that vision that we see in the book of Revelation, that all the nations and the languages and the tribes gathered around the throne of God, worshiping in the new heavens and the new earth, that all of that pushes out from the day of Pentecost, and you and I will be there not because of who we are, and no one will be excluded based on their ethnicity or their station in life, but everybody is invited to experience this salvation through faith in Jesus. Second thing I want you to remember is that every person in this room who is a follower of Jesus Christ is called to be a witness to this resurrection. I want to do something really strange. All of you stand up real quickly. Seriously. Now look at this. Every person here who has placed their faith in Christ, you may not be on one of those missions teams that we commissioned earlier, but in a very real sense, you are commissioned to go out wherever you are every day to bear witness to the good news of what God has done for you in Jesus. And just real quick, I'm bad with numbers. Our finance chairman's here. He would tell you I'm really bad with numbers. But more of you or more of me? More of you, right? Those of you who aren't staff, sit down. If you are staff, stay standing. More of us or more of y'all? More of y'all. All right, y'all can sit down. That God has so composed us as the church that if only those of us who went to seminary and only those of us who work full-time or part-time or in some role here at the church are engaged in this mission to bear witness to what God's done for us in Christ, The reality of it is that we don't have nearly as many hands and hearts, do we? We don't. And the day of Pentecost is this reminder that every person in this room who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus for salvation has been gifted the Holy Spirit and called to be engaged in mission. And nobody is kind of higher and elevated in that mission. I'm just like that fan without the power plugged in and the switch turned on. That apart from the Holy Spirit's work in me, or the Holy Spirit's work in you, I could get up here and say words all day long and it wouldn't make a difference apart from God's Spirit at work in us. Now, how many of you are somewhat terrified of being a part of God's mission to be a witness to Jesus Christ? Yeah. Some of you very shyly said, yeah. All I can tell you is that me too. Me too. And it's been that way my whole life. I remember being in Campus Crusade for Christ, and I told the first service, I can still see what the library looks like, and I can still remember Doug, my Campus Crusade for Christ leader, saying, we're going to go out there, and we're going to give them hot chocolate, it's wintertime, and we're going to invite them to Bible studies. And I thought, Doug, are you sure? The hot chocolate part, I got. But the whole invite on the Bible studies, you know, what if they say, explain the opening chapters of Genesis to me? Think that's like literal 7 days or not? Think that's 24-hour days? Where do the dinosaurs fit into that story? Old earth, new earth, like where are you on that? You know? And I just knew that like I'm going to be out there and I'm going to be the biggest fool in the world. I'm going to be like, this is not for me. Or when Doug gets so much blame in my life. When he told me to go to Yellowstone National Park and be out there and engage with people who were working in the park and they were not Christians and they were kind of like, oh gosh, here come the Christians to live out here with us and tell us about Jesus. All of that terrified me. And a lot of Sundays when I think I'm going to get up and say, thus says the Lord, it's not the most comforting thought sometimes. That I'm going to get up and preach God's word to his people. But what happens as I step forward in faith, God provides what I need. And as I'm going, the Holy Spirit is there to strengthen and help me do that to which I am called. And he will do that for you. But the big part of faith is that you got to start stepping out and going. You got to start doing your part to kind of put your foot out and trust that the ground's going to be there when you keep walking. To trust that God's going to be there and provide his Spirit for you to bear witness to all that God's done for you in Jesus. And it might be singing in a band, or it might be working with small children here at the church, or it might be having a conversation with a coworker or a student that you're with, or whatever it is that God's called you to. And the thing that I just want to encourage you to do is just to lean in and to be faithful for wherever it is that God provides you and trust that he, by the power of his Spirit, is going to be at work in you. And you and I don't always understand or see the fruit of what we do. And ultimately, the great thing about being a follower of Christ and the Holy Spirit is the one who does the work is that ultimately, it's not up to us to produce the results. We just step out in faithfulness and tell what the Lord's done in our lives, what we've seen by his gracious hand at work, and invite others to consider that same faith. Last thing I'll say in closing is it's really helpful for us as a church to mark this day of Pentecost because it reminds us that we are a group that by necessity, we are a mission-sending group. That everything at the heart of who we are ought to be centered around this idea of mission. This morning in the first service, Ann Louise Montgomery was baptized over here in these waters. And what a wonderful and beautiful thing to do on the day of Pentecost, that she's confessed her faith. She was following through in believers' baptism. We sent these mission teams out That's easy to see sometimes, mission. But I'm convicted that as we walk through this new building project phase, that at the heart of all that better be some sense of mission. Better be some sense of not we have prettier rooms to sit and study the Bible in, or we can maybe hear Wayne better if he's preaching a sermon in the sanctuary, or these things that if we're not careful, we get turned in on ourselves and it's about us and things being better for us. But really, every part of who we are, there ought to be this impulse that we want more people to come and experience the abundant and eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. One of our former missions committee chairs said, "I think the whole budget is the missions budget." And there's a sense in which that's true, is it not? That the whole budget is a missions budget. We're seeking to be faithful to carry through on what God started on that day of Pentecost with his first church. And we're taking our place in our time to come alongside those people, bear witness in our time, and likely others will come after us until Christ comes to complete his work of making all things new. So remember that you're a part of this people of God, not because of who you are, what you've done, or where you're from. You don't belong here apart from the merits of Jesus Christ, but on the merits of Jesus Christ, everyone's invited to be a part of this people. Remember that God's called you, and he will equip you and supply your needs as you step out and bear witness to him. And then make sure you help me and help other leaders to make sure that everything that we're about here is some way tied to God's mission to proclaim the good news of Christ that we move forward. I invite you to pray with me. God, thank you that you graciously invite us to be a part of your people through faith in Jesus. Lord, forgive us when we think we deserve it or we've earned it or we think we fail to remember those perhaps who aren't here yet. That you give us a heart to be faithful to proclaim this good news of salvation available to everybody, regardless of where they're from, regardless if they're male or female, Lord, that you call them to yourself through faith in Jesus. And Lord, renew in us a sense of boldness, not because we have the ability or the strengths to do it on our own, but because we trust that you will provide what we need by the power of your Spirit. And Lord, make us a people who are faithful to the mission that you've called us to be a part of. We offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. If you're here this morning and you've never publicly professed your faith in Jesus Christ and you feel like the Lord's calling you to do that or to unite with us